Joining me now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, covers the Browns. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nate, let's start talking about the Combine because you were there for a good portion of it. I got to look at some of the key players that could interest the Browns, and I wondered what your biggest takeaway was at an event that I think for the most part is seen as having produced a lot of impressive physical results, people running fast, people working out well, all the things that they do in T-shirts and shorts that we're told to be skeptical about.
Yeah, well, my biggest takeaway kind of comes in a couple different phases, and one of them was that we got to talk to Joe Banner, and when I say we, I mean the Cleveland media, Cleveland area media,
right?
And you know, this is the time of the year where smoke screens are set by NFL decision makers, so you can't put too much stock into my interpretation of what I heard from Joe. But what I did hear from Joe was that the Browns are switching to this 3-4 multi-front scheme that's going to be employed by Ray Horton, the new defensive coordinator, right, and they need help in the front seven to make that transition. I think, you know, the average fan kind of knows that, but to hear Joe say that, and to hear Joe say that they want an attacking defense, they want to be risk takers, to emphasize just the importance of sacks and the philosophy that he has in terms of the kind of team that he wants to build, to me, it really kind of pointed towards the Browns really looking at those, you know, 3-4 outside linebackers, those rush linebackers with the 6th overall pick. That coupled with the fact that Joe said we're not focusing on a quarterback there at that spot. So I think, and of course, there are other guys you could throw. You could say Dee Milliner, the cornerback from Alabama, could be, you know, a guy, obviously, who would help the defense and could be there at number 6. But I think, you know, you never know how that's going to shake out. He might not be available. He ran some really good 40 times at the Combine.
Yep.
So all that said, I come away from that conversation really looking at the rush linebackers. And then the second phase that is looking at the rush linebackers in the workouts, and it just seems like there are there's a pretty strong group of those type of guys, and the Browns are going to have to figure out which ones are the pretenders, which ones are the contenders in that group, who really is worthy of a 6 overall pick if they stay at that spot.
Yeah, the good news is there are a lot of them. It looks like a pretty deep position, so the chances of success there seem to be a little better. But I want to back up to your point about citing Joe Banner as setting that agenda for the team. And I'm with you. I was in on that same session, and it is a big deal to have heard what he said, and this was last Saturday morning, to the people who cover the Browns on a regular basis, the writers and such. And, you know, I think what has to be appreciated that I'm not sure enough people do understand is he's setting the tone for the football operation. More than anybody working for the Browns, it is his tone setting as far as the football part of it goes. And it's something that I don't know that people, you know, appreciate or understand enough, but this is what he did in Philadelphia, did quite successfully in Philadelphia, and that's what he's been brought here to do. You know, he's not sitting in there as just the guy who's piloting the business side of the Browns. He's piloting the entire thing, and the football part of it is really the biggest part of what he's doing. So when you mention his philosophy as it applies to that pass rusher being important and what it means to your team's success, not only as it applies to the 3-4 being put together by Ray Horton, but just in general philosophy, you've got to have that pass rusher to have a successful team. I mean, he's saying a lot.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And I mean, you touch on a couple of good points, and I think a lot of people look at Joe and say he's not a football guy, he's a business guy, he's a salary cap guru, he is a, you know, a masterful contract negotiator, one who's had the reputation of being a tough one at that, but they don't really think of him as a football guy. And Joe's telling us, I'm more of a football guy than you think I am. And a lot of fans in Cleveland, I think, are a little worried about that because they never viewed him that in that light in Philly. And he's telling us he was a part of a group of people who made very important football decisions that led to success. So obviously Browns fans have to hope that that translates to success here. But there is a lot of, I think, you know, caution on the part of Browns fans who look at Joe in that light, just because I don't think they really understand, you know, what to expect from him. But he is the voice. He is telling the media his vision and consequently telling the fans his vision for the team. Mike Lombardi obviously is an important part of the process, but he didn't speak to the media at the combine. It was Joe Banner. So Joe Banner is laying it all out there, and that's exactly what he did for us on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's just having a greater appreciation, I think, and looking into the background of how much he was involved in from a football standpoint in Philadelphia. It was quite a bit, and I do think there have been maybe some misconceptions about it to lead to people to not be really sure of exactly what they have. But I think when he articulates, as he did this past weekend, exactly the vision that he has from a football standpoint and lays it out very thoroughly and very in great detail, you know, I think for us who write about this, talk about this, it's easier to understand. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And the other part, Nate, of the discussion from the combine, you mentioned D. Milner, you know, on the last day of the combine, running that strong, what was like a 4.3140. There were these questions about his straight line speed, about his athleticism that he answered. And he might have answered them so well that those who might think, okay, that's a guy that the Browns would target potentially at six could look at. But my sense is that they would be going in that pass rush direction, hope to get that corner somewhere else. Do they get him in the third round because that's the next time they pick after the first as scheduled, or do they acquire a second-round pick that they can get a corner there? But it looks, you know, like a D. Milner might have pushed his way so far up that, you know, he's not going to be that sort of available second-pick guy.
Well, when you hear all the people talking about the draft this time of year, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, Vic. You know that. But I think a lot of people look at the Lions at five and think they had one of the worst secondaries in the league and think D. Milner is the guy there for them. So obviously he wouldn't be available if the Browns are there at six, if that's the case. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a big drop-off if you listen to, you know, NFL Network's Mike Mayock and other guys, you know, the draft gurus of the world. Those guys think there's a big drop-off, you know, after D. Milner in the cornerback class, and they think it's a very weak, very thin class. Doesn't have a lot of depth like some of the other positions. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns head into this pre-draft process, or, well, they're obviously in that pre-draft process right now, but if they come away from the combine thinking, you know, this guy's going to be off the board, we're looking pass rusher anyway, you know, most likely, and, you know, free agency is going to be where we have to get our corner, because let's face it, Sheldon Brown, his contract's going to expire March 12th, and, you know, who's going to start alongside Joe Hayden? They're going to have to get somebody there. So I think the cornerback class, unlike the draft, you know, in free agency is pretty deep. So I think I see that position, you know, addressed when free agency starts on March 12th.
Brandon Whedon had a chance to meet with, well, folks who came out and wanted his autograph earlier in the week at the Cleveland Auto Show at the IX Center, but also it was a chance really for the first time since the end of the season to talk with reporters, and he fielded the hard questions about the future, that maybe it is uncertain about him being a starter for the team, but he expressed full confidence that he will be the starter for the Browns, which I would expect him to say. I mean, I think I'd have been surprised and probably disappointed if I heard anything less than that. But how would you gauge maybe his frame of mind now, knowing that this is competitive, knowing that he hasn't received anything other than, I mean, he heard some nice words from Rob Chudzinski and Joe Banner related to what they think he can do and the expectation that he'll compete and put his best foot forward and make that hoped improvement from year one to year two as a player. How do you read Brandon's mindset?
Well, I think that obviously he spoke very confidently the other day, and that's what you want to hear from him. And you're right. I mean, you would be surprised to hear anything other than that. But I think the bottom line is you know, Brandon is a guy who obviously was in minor league baseball and for five seasons. So I would be really shocked if he's not familiar with the concept of new coaches coming in and, you know, him not being their guy. I mean, it happens in all sports. I mean, if you have a change on the coaching staff, they come in, you're not their guy. They don't view you like the other guys did, and you're going to have to do everything in your power to prove to them that you're worthy of being, you know, a starter. And that's what this, that's the situation he's in right now.
Right.
And Joe Banner and Rob Chudzinski, when they spoke at the combine, they said, we see potential, but he's going to have to earn it. And ultimately, it's going to, you know, depend on how much he wants it. You know, I view that as them, you know, putting pressure on, calling him out, challenging him, and seeing how he responds. Now, if, you know, Brandon Weeden can benefit from those experiences he's had, you know, in pro sports before, and just being a competitor for most of his life, he should respond well to that type of, you know, those type of statements from the, right, from the new regime. So we'll see. He's definitely going to have competition. He thinks he can beat him out. That's what he said. He's really, really going to have to step up this off season. He knows it. They're telling him that. The message is clear. And we'll see how it all pans out. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be competition. He says he welcomes it. And he really has no choice because it's coming.
And it'll be interesting, Nate, to see just how that competition is formulated, because as we look at it right now, this is still considered a weak class of quarterbacks in the draft. Nothing that really happened at the combine, I don't think, allowed any of those quarterbacks to distinguish himself from the rest or put forth the idea that there is some really hot prospect at the quarterback position in the draft. Now, Matt Barkley didn't throw, and I think that's going to be the big unknown, is what will Barkley look like when he has his pro day later this month, in like the third week of March at USC. And at that point, he's recovering from that shoulder injury that kept him from throwing at the combine and kept him out of the final two games of USC's season. I think that's the piece of the puzzle that sort of has everyone waiting on. But if there's no real competition coming from the collegiate ranks, and then the other part of it is who's maybe coming from another team into the Browns mix, and I'm not really sure we have much of a handle on that. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see if Brandon, what kind of competition Brandon has, although I'm convinced he'll have some.
Oh, yeah. Where the competition comes from, who it is, that's pretty much one of the biggest storylines, if not the biggest, this offseason, in my opinion. I don't think it's Geno Smith or Matt Barkley at number six. You know, Joe Banner said we're not focusing on taking a quarterback at number six, and then he doesn't expect to take one in the first or second round. Now, they don't have a second-round pick right now, but they certainly could get one if they trade down out of six. And Joe said that his history is, you know, basically trading down more than trading up or even staying put. So considering all that and what we talked about earlier with smokescreens, I really do think that it's going to be a free agent more than likely. I mean, I look at a guy like Matt Moore, the guy from the Dolphins who's going to be a free agent here on March 12th. Somebody like that, I think, you know, that kind of, you know, second tier of quarterbacks, because there's really not. I mean, assuming the Ravens don't let Joe Flacco, you know, go, or, you know, assuming they don't make him available in any way, then there's really not that big, you know, headliner in the free agent class for quarterbacks.
Right.
But, you know, there's that Matt Moore, Brian Hoyer, Chase Daniel, Derek Anderson. I mean, these names have been attached to the Browns this offseason. So I think it's going to be one of those free agent quarterback types. And I also think that I wouldn't be surprised if it's not only one quarterback. I mean, they could sign one of those kind of guys and they could draft one later. So
yeah.
I really wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about two quarterbacks coming in when it's all said and done.
I'm with you on that. I think it is a couple of guys. Nate, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. We'll talk with you down the line.
All right, thanks, Vic.
He is Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.